You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Creation.
Entrepreneurship.
The next idea.
We have to make room for this ability to learn to be creative.
Since mankind first began growing crops, the farmer's enemies have been drought, wind, too much rain, wild temperature swings, curveballs served up by Mother Nature. Enter Brian Harris, our latest contributor to The Next Idea. He's turning out an array of green produce protected from the elements, and he's doing it in a converted freight container sitting right near downtown Grand Rapids. He calls this a hydroponic vertical microfarm. Its official name is Green Collar Farms, and it's a pleasure, Brian Harris, to welcome you to The Next Idea.
Glad to be here.
So what made you decide I'm going to build a farm and do it in a shipping container?
Well, it was evolutionary in the sense that I sold my business almost 3 years ago and was a little too bored and antsy, and a friend of mine said, hey, this indoor growing thing's happening big down in Florida. Why don't you check it out? And so he sent me some equipment, and I just played around with it, and over time, different iterations, different architectures came up with this assembly of stuff, and it happened to fit in a container, and I thought, well, let's give this a go.
So when we say a container, what are we talking about? Describe it.
Well, it's literally a ocean-going refrigerated shipping container. This one was built in 2004 and I think retired last year. It's an insulated 40-foot by 8-foot by 9-foot box that just happens to hold almost 2 acres of crop.
That's pretty stunning, almost 2 acres of crop. What are you growing?
This container is dedicated to cold crops, so it's a lot of leafy greens, lettuces, kales, pak choi, tat soy, all sorts of good food.
Does it take a lot of water and energy?
No, actually, it's remarkable. Hydroponics in general is pretty conservative in water use because it's recycled. So we use about 10% of what a typical soil farm would use. We've eliminated all the furrows where wasted irrigation water just goes back into the conifers or the water system. And then what the plants don't consume is reconditioned and reused.
As far as cost, then, if you were to compare that to trying to grow crops on a traditional dirt farm, how do the costs compare?
You know, that's a great question, and it's a typical question, but it's very difficult to answer because the question is, are we talking about a mega farm where the tractors are guided by GPS? Or are we talking about a migrant farm where there's lots of labor? There's trade-offs. Our biggest cost is in energy. So we operate at peak about 82 kilowatts a day, but how to compare that to diesel fuel and tractor maintenance and labor and all sorts of other things that happen in the field, it's a difficult comparison.
Yeah, and you're able because it's protected, right? You can grow year-round?
Yeah, growing year-round. I mean, your opening was very true. I mean, Mother Nature is a cruel mistress in many cases, and whether it's natural climate or whether it's climate swings, we don't have to deal with anything. So there's no hail, there's no rainy season, there's no dry season. It is optimal environmental conditions for plants to grow. In fact, our crop cycle is about 7 weeks. So in other words, from germination to harvest is 7 weeks. We do that 365 days a year.
And how do your crops, Brian, that you're turning out from Green Collar Farms here in this converted shipping container, how do they compare to what you might get from a traditional farm where they are exposed to the elements and other conditions?
Yeah, well, nutrition studies have indicated that there's really very little difference between an optimal crop grown in the field versus what is grown hydroponically in this container or elsewhere. However, the stresses that the plants usually endure in the field require them to consume their own energy, which is what we think of as sugars and resins, and it can turn the product somewhat bitter or tough or whatever. And so everybody so far who's gone through here to taste this product has indicated that it is tenderer, it is not bitter, it's actually even a little bit sweet and not chewy.
So your greens have a nice, peaceful life, and they reflect that.
They are lazy. You know, because we know in the field they have to send out roots to go find all the nutrients, and that root growth takes energy. And so these fellows, ladies, and what, they just sit back, and the nutrients come right to them, so they can retain everything in the leaf and stem, and they live a good life.
What kind of other crops are suited for this kind of hydroponic vertical microfarm growing?
This is not an either-or proposition. That is, there are field-appropriate crops. You're not going to grow wheat inside. It's not an apple orchard. You're not going to float cranberries. But there are many field crops that are consumed hyper-locally. So these lettuces and herbs, your basils. Hydroponics also lends itself to growing things like strawberries, snap peas, peppers, and so on and so forth. So there is quite a variety that can be grown indoors.
I'm wondering what kind of niche that you see something like this filling. What kind of needs could a container farm like yours meet?
You know, it has lots of applications. We're not trying to do commodity food, which needs to travel. I mean, I don't know if you knew, but your food travels more than you do. The average food mile in your pantry is probably 1,500, maybe 2,000 miles. But the products that we grow are typically consumed hyperlocally. You know, they don't have to travel a long way. So by being able to grow hyperlocally, you can improve access to food. There's all sorts of what I call, or what people call, STEM aspects, so science, technology, engineering, and math, to being able to control your environment. So I see educational opportunities for this. If you get some kids to come through and they see all the LED lights, which have that sort of pink glow to them, and they hear the whizzing and the whirling of the dosers and whatnot, I think they can really begin to be stimulated as not just where food comes from, but some of the ways that it can be grown. And maybe one of them wants to be a botanist or a farmer or an engineer or so on and so forth. So there's educational opportunities. It's franchisable in a way in that if you chose the, what I call the architecture of container, you could place these containers throughout an urban area where they would serve the local restaurants within, say, you know, a 10-mile radius or a 5-mile radius. And so you can create these little micro businesses around. My ultimate journey is really to scale up from the container to an actual brick-and-mortar warehouse somewhere in the urban core. A 10,000-square-foot facility would produce 65, 70 acres of crop every 7 weeks. And so now you're talking real jobs. You're talking real economic vitality.
And you're talking fresh, healthy food where often people don't have access to that.
Localized. Localized access, localized awareness, and then certainly the health and wellness benefits would follow.
Fascinating work. Brian Harris, Green Collar Farms of Grand Rapids. Thank you so much for sharing your work with us on The Next Idea, Brian.
My pleasure. Our motto is sowing seed daily. So it's not just the literal seed, it's the seeds of knowledge, of food and health and safety. Thanks for having me.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.